that we need to define limitations. This morning we read from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and I'd like for you to turn to that portion once again and see that how even before man fell, these two aspects were a part of God's plan. On the positive side, there was the fellowship with God. There was the opportunity to live in the garden, to enjoy its beauty, to care for it, to dress it. But God defined limitations for Adam and Eve. And we see those beginning with verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." Notice the great positive liberty and freedom. "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." How plainly God defined the limitations for Adam and Eve. And you also see how clearly they understood the limitations. And you have, of course, the story of the bringing of Eve on the scene. And how that God brought her to Adam, and he was impressed with what God had brought to him, and they had this husband-wife established relationship there in the garden. And it was communicated clearly to her, defined limitations. Notice in the third chapter, as this opens up, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, all of them, but one. God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must touch it or not touch it, or you will die.'" And then, of course, the temptation. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." And we know the story of how Eve fell for that subtle manipulation of her life and tempted her. And she ate of the fruit of the tree, and Adam also partook of it. Now this tells us something about limitations. Discipline, when it's administered rightly, follows a biblical plan. It follows the plan that God has already set forth in His relationship with you and me. And parental discipline, when it is administered correctly, always follows the pattern of how God deals with His children. We can learn a great deal about discipline by studying the Scripture from that perspective. How does God discipline us? Why does He discipline us? What are some of the parameters of it? And always the emphasis is upon the positive, of helping us establish goals that are honoring to God, that bring us great blessing and an enlargement of our freedom, steering us away from those things that will harm us and hurt us and wound us and destroy us. Then, of course, there are times when God has to limit us very directly. And when He does that, it's because He loves us. And that, of course, also ought to be the motive behind all parental discipline. Let me just quickly work through these points that you have in your outline under defined limitations. First of all, limitations will be tested for security. That's just part of human nature. The moment you put limitations upon your child in any way, those limitations will be tested. Every parent knows that. You say, no, mustn't touch, to that little toddler just learning to creep about. And guess where he goes? The very first chance he gets. He goes right for what you told him he mustn't touch. And sometimes he will put out his hand to touch it, and then he will look to see if you're watching and what your response is going to be. And that is something that all of us must recognize is there. Limitations will be tested for security. The child derives security from knowing that you really mean it when you put a limitation on. And the more you communicate to your child those limitations, and he tests them, the more secure he will become if he knows you hold him to them. My father was that kind of a disciplinarian. And he had his limitations. He gave us a lot of freedom as I grew up. But when he had limitations, they were limitations. And when he said no, it was no. And probably none of his sons tested that quite as much as this one standing before you. I remember how that went on throughout my life. I was old enough to know that when Dad said it, he meant it. But I'll never forget the last major lesson I remember in this area was when I was a junior in high school. And I had played football against my father's misgivings when I was a sophomore. And in the process, I had broken my nose. And I was some monstrous sight, I assure you, for weeks. The nose was almost as big as my head, I think. And both of my eyes were black. And I just wanted to hide most of the time. But gradually, it went back at least to a semblance of normalcy. Though some of you might debate that to this day. But I had almost forgotten about it completely. And the coach had great hopes for me in his backfield, which I just loved to play halfback. And I was eagerly looking forward to it. And so when time came to go out for football, I went to get my insurance sheets and my sign-up sheets and all of my equipment. I even checked out all of my equipment and went to one practice. And came time for my father to sign the permission slip for insurance purposes. And he took me aside and he said, Mark, I'm not going to sign that. Well, the bottom dropped out of my world, I assure you. And my father got the greatest selling job any dad ever got in the history of the world. Not just for a day, but for days. But when my father made a decision, he said, "Mark, you got hurt last year." And I'd had a couple of bad injuries, not just the nose one. And he said, "Life is too valuable for you to wound yourself in football, and I'm not going to sign that." And he didn't sign it. Well, the coach wouldn't speak to me for the rest of the year until pole vaulting time came, and he was the track coach too, and we got back on good terms. But I'll never forget how secure that made me feel, even though I was deeply hurt and wounded at the time, just to know that my father cared enough for me to tell me no, and that he didn't want me to be injured in football that might make my life something less than God wanted it to be. And the security of that has stuck with me all these years. And though it took me a couple of years to understand some of that, the admiration and the security from a father who could define the limitations and stick by them gave me great security. So parents need to understand that. Limitations will be tested for security. And when you have no limitations, that implies rejection of the child. Now, he doesn't understand that. And most parents don't understand it. But when you do not have any limitations for your child, when you don't stick by them, what you're really saying, "I don't care enough to enforce what I believe is best for you." And a child develops a sense of frustration and insecurity when the persons that care the most for him don't care enough to define the limitation and to stick by them, to communicate how much you really care. And so we need to teach obedience by firm enforcement of the word no. Always with communication, but it's important that a child learn that there are defined limitations in life that are strong enough to say no to. And if you don't enforce those, it's a matter of life or death. You can certainly see that when you have to teach your child about the dangers of fire or the dangers of gravity and falling off of a high place. But it's equally true in areas where a child may not have the understanding of the deadliness of some of those things available in life, that if a parent doesn't say no and define it and then stick to it, the child will invariably be hurt deeply. God knows how to say no, and parents need to do the same thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you tonight that the Scripture makes it clear that thou, as a divine disciplinarian, even before man fell, you not only gave him goals to live by, but defined limitations. We pray that you'll teach us how to walk in the kind of application of the biblical principles of discipline that are securing in the lives of children. We communicate how much we love them, how much we want to protect them. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.